Got that tweet in right under the wire. Thanks, Drew.
That's the motto of the show.
Thanks for extending the wire like 6 seconds just
That's
for
right.
me. Hey, everyone.
A little teeny weeny little bit.
I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, the podcast where we make today make sense. We do.
I'm Kyle Risnall. It is Happy Hour Friday. Economics on Tap is another way we describe it, although I'm the only one drinking beer here usually. Live stream's up and running. I think we got the Discord as well.
We do. And
we're just so glad to have you along, whether it's Discord, YouTube, the podcast, you know, what have you. So,
well, I know. We're reunited after two long weeks.
Yes.
Reunited. For Economics on Tap, we're kind of like, what do we do?
So good. Reunited. Come on, I'm singing for Christ's sake for the first time like ever on this podcast, and I get nothing?
I mean, you got me zipping it on purpose because I just wanted it to go on and on.
Well, I wasn't even trying either because I can usually sing a little bit better than that. Stone cold sober, by the way. I have had one sip of beer, so I don't quite know what's going on.
Yep. Yep. Anyway. Just excited. We're just excited.
I know.
It's Fry. Yay. Yep. I am just going to, I'm going to rip the Band-Aid off right now and tell you guys what I'm drinking.
What?
And it goes with my sort of accidental hipster look today because I forgot my regular reading specs downstairs. And so I have these like kind of like hipster one on and a little denim jacket. And then I'm pairing that with a iced tea raspberry White Claw. So if you are screaming, kill it with fire right now.
Go back to Brooklyn. YouTube, go back to Brooklyn.
I'm a little bit Brooklyn right now.
Wow.
Then that's fair. You know what? Then that would be a fair response.
That's pretty funny. You know what's
but
funny
they're clogging
is the whole
my
hard seltzer. The whole hard seltzer thing is over, though. You missed it.
It's over, so and somebody brought a crap ton of it to my house for like a little get together on the weekend, and now I'm like, I got to get rid of this because I need to put groceries in here. Yeah, it's bad.
Totally.
John from Las Vegas says in the Discord, "LMAO, Molly coming in basic."
I know, right? Totally. Coming in super basic. Jesus.
I'm darn near chewy.
That's right. I got some things to do this afternoon, so I'm having a session IPA from Golden Road, the Wolf Pep session IPA. Quite nice, quite lovely. Got people coming over. I have to be on my best behavior. My mother-in-law.
I also have a dinner, so I was like, well, this is pretty lightweight situation, I think. Also, yes, it's disgusting, so I'll never finish it. Oof. So that's helpful.
Anywho.
Not good. All right. As usual on Friday, I complain about my drink. Kai has a beer. We do the news. We play full half empty.
Like an old married couple. We're like an old married couple.
Like just a little bit. A little bit. We might be in a routine.
Oh, man.
I'm not going to say a rut. Just a routine.
Oh, Lord.
Next week, I'll put on makeup.
All right.
Let's do the news.
Let's do the news. So I've got two. One's a quickie and one's more substantive. The quickie is, I'm sure this is out there everywhere by now, but the New York Times an hour or two ago, and it's 3:30 now, LA time, reports that the Food and Drug Administration aims for full approval of Pfizer COVID vaccine on Monday. So obviously that's huge. It lets all kinds of things happen. It lets the whole emergency use, that hesitation go away. Yes, there's politics to overcome. And yes, we need the 2-11 age group. But look, progress, it took them a long time, but they're there and I'm glad about that. Brief sidebar on the whole booster shots for Americans versus the rest of the world. I just want to throw that out there. I'm a little undecided. Just want to raise that I'm thinking about it. I don't really have anything to say about it.
It sort of feels like, honestly, tough, vaccines for the under 12 set would be better than booster shots for, you know, like aim for max vaccination. And then you have a nice big firewall because that's probably where it's going to be coming home from.
Yep.
Mm.
Yep.
Finally on the full approval, will help too. Yes.
Right. Totally.
Yep.
My actual news item, and I know I have now like probably three times broken my promise not to talk about Afghanistan on this podcast anymore, but I kind of can't let it go for...
No one can. You know, no one can.
Yeah, totally. There was a piece in the Atlantic, by a former special operator for the Air Force, and his job was to, while riding in Air Force AC-130 gunships above various locations in Afghanistan, and gunships obviously are heavily armed and can, you know, destroy everything, basically, whatever they shoot at. His job was to listen to the conversations that the Taliban were having on the ground on their radios. And it's just, it's really sobering to hear transcriptions of, or to read transcriptions of what these guys were saying to each other. And then finally, the payoff at the end of this thing is why we are where we are, actually. I'll just leave it at that. It's a super quick article. I read it, actually, full disclosure, I read it while Marketplace was on the air today, because it gets lonely in the studio sometimes, and we had a couple of long pieces, which is a whole nother podcast, I suppose. But anyway, read it. It's in The Atlantic. Tony's going to put it on the show page. It's a good piece. Yeah. It's a good piece.
It is a good piece.
There we go.
And it is indeed that kicker is, it's everything.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, it's funny that I appreciate this effort, and we are definitely, I'm going to try, I'm going to move on also, but it is all I've been talking about with anybody.
Yeah, for sure.
And I guess, I'm going to use this as an awkward segue into one of my pieces, one of my choices for today, and I'm going to start by saying, I would like everybody to dispense with this idea of, you didn't care about Afghanistan the whole time that we were there, and now you were pretending to care, and you should stop talking about it. I think that is not productive, nor is it fair. Because for a very long time, Afghanistan was an unfolding scandal that was also super stable in a weird, messed up way. It's not something, I don't know, this idea that everybody has to be, splitting their brain into chunks of things that you're worried about. And everyday people, I'm not even talking about journalists, I'm talking about regular old people on Twitter getting yelled at for being like, wow, this is an unfolding humanitarian crisis, and I'm horrified on behalf of women and girls. And then having somebody respond and say, where were you 5 years ago? Or you didn't care about this 8 years. It's like, you know what? I don't have to care about it then. I can care about it now. I can care about it anytime, and it is still valid. And so just stop with that. Like, stop. It's not like everybody goes through their day-to-day with little partitioned off brains like, ooh, I'm really upset about Sudan. And for everybody who says that to me, like, I'm like, oh, really? Where are you on Sudan? Like, stop with the shaming people for caring about a thing that is in the news and is terrible.
Totally agree. And that people didn't have capacity to think about because they were worrying about their mortgage or their job was terrible or their kid had the flu or whatever. I totally agree with that. But can I add a yes and here?
Yeah, always.
Okay. My yes and to this is, and I'm not going to ascribe motive, but it is to me personally troubling that this country kind of forgot about Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Right? And that is a civil military divide. It's an issue of a very small fraction of the population bearing the burden of foreign policy and all of that stuff. And I just think that's important to note. I completely agree with what you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to care now because we all had lives in the last 20 years, and I totally get that. But we forgot about it too. And that's also real. That's it. Yeah.
Maybe the better way to think about it, for me at least, is like, it's okay for everybody else on Twitter, but newsrooms needed to have that part of their brains attached to it.
I think that's right.
I think that's, it's like, of course you can't expect everyday Americans to care about a thing they never heard about and to reserve a portion of their brain, hold that all the time for the Afghanistan part. It is appropriate to ask newsrooms, which literally have desks and beat reporters.
It's your job.
To hold that part, and tell us. So, yes, we
news
should do better. We everyday American citizens who are like, I'm horrified by what I'm seeing on TV, you're allowed. You have permission to be horrified by what you're seeing on TV.
Totally.
Similarly, we all have permission to suddenly care more about Jeopardy than we have in the last 20 years. Maybe you didn't watch it. I get it.
Nicely done. Very nicely.
Thank you. Because I'm seeing a lot of the exact same sentiment.
Yes.
Which is like, no one, you didn't care about Jeopardy before. You know what? I do care that they like shadily put a misogynist jerk in charge of the whole thing, and he elected himself as host. So because it was a beloved part of my childhood, I care.
Totally. And he gets to stay in charge, but do your news, and then we'll get to the really lousy part of this.
That actually is my news. So everybody has probably heard by now that he stepped down, and also, you're welcome, and I appreciate the people on Twitter who were like, this must have been partly because of your show. It was not. It was the good work of The Ringer that made this incontrovertible for the folks at Sony. I mean, that was great journalism.
Yep.
However, at least according to Variety, and thank you for seeing the lead in this story. He apparently is going to stay on as executive producer.
Yeah.
Like, no, he's not. Come on. Yeah, yeah. The guy created a demonstrably hostile environment in prior workplaces. Yep. Like, no woman is going to want to work for him. And he, like, shadily elected himself host and then had to step down and is almost certainly pretty bitter about that. Really? No. If I were the incoming host, new host of Jeopardy, yeah. and I'm going to say this from my position of, like, just learning how to be talent, I'd be like, oh, hell no. No freaking way, that guy. No. That is just bananas.
Yep.
Anyway, totally. That was a quick update. Also, I want you all to read this New York Times story about I cannot believe we are still doing in this country. Okay, we failed at testing for COVID through almost all of the pandemic. Finally, when we got to the point where we were almost maybe like not failing just a tiny bit, we started failing. And now there is this absolutely appalling story. Because I've been wondering, like, where the heck are the tests? They're all sold out. You can't get them. It's really hard to get an appointment. Mm-hmm. We dismantled a lot of the infrastructure, like the drive-through testing. Then there is this appalling story in the New York Times about how Abbott, which was a maker of one of these rapid tests, laid off a bunch of workers as sales dwindled. And then threw out supplies, threw them out, like had people working for Abbott destroy them as opposed to sending them to any other country or maybe adding them to some kind of like, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Stockpile in case, as every epidemiologist in the entire world was screaming, there was a variant that could evade. Like, what the hell? At every turn, we are just stymied by, like, the stupidest capitalism ever. That is just astonishing. And so now, like, kids are going back to school and we don't have rapid tests. And it's just, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
And, oh, by the way, kids are going back to school. And, I mean, Florida, you know, of course they've got 1,000 kids isolated or whatever. It's happening in schools all over the country, right? One kid and then five kids and then close contact and then 10 and 15. I mean, it's happening everywhere, you know?
It is. And regular testing is, in fact, a way to catch some of these things before they become outbreaks.
Right.
I mean, it's just cannot manage what you do not measure. It literally is March 2019 all over again.
I did not have today pegged as a hollowed out shell of a Friday. I didn't have that.
I'm so mad today.
That was not on my thing list of things to do today.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm so mad today. I'm so mad. Maybe we should play a game.
Let's play again.
By Friday, I think I'm just mad.
Yeah. All right.
It's a lot. It's been a lot. Okay, this is, however, we're going to take a turn for the who knows what, depending on the topics, half full, half empty, where we give our predictions. Sometimes this
is where your hosts lose control of the podcast.
Gets a little ranty, too. You never know. Drew Jostad is back to play the game with us. Drew?
Are you half full or half empty on MasterCard removing the magnetic stripes?
Oh, yeah. So MasterCard's getting rid of the stripes. They're going either tap or chip. They're not doing it fast, right? They're going to start getting rid of the stripes in 2024. It's going to be completed by, get this, 2033. So I don't know how it takes that freaking long. But there's a whole striping infrastructure that I guess you got to deal with. Half full, fully full. I've actually gone all contactless, right? I've got Apple Pay on my phone, whatever. I haven't pulled out my credit card.
I have the tap. Honestly, this is a transition that has been in progress in the United States for something like 10 years. I think I did a story like 5 years ago about the transition to chip cards, chip and pin, which are more secure than the magnetic stripe. Like, I'm half full only in the sense that, like, good job getting that dinosaur moving. Yeah.
Welcome to the 21st century.
Thanks. I love the tap, by the way, the tap card. Like, I finally did get the chip in the tap. It's amazing. Every time I tap, I'm so delighted. It's awesome. What's next?
Half full or half empty on the Facebook VR meetings.
Can we just isolate that sigh and make it into like a regular sound effect? It says everything.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and.
I did it. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, please. I was going to say, I'm going to go ahead and translate that as half empty.
Well, yeah. I mean, so look, I did a VR thing. It's got to be 8 or 10 years ago now. And yes, maybe the technology's improved, but still it's really isolating and it's weird and you get a little motion sickness and it blew. Geez. And no.
That's yeah.
Me. You?
I definitely see the benefits. I actually looked back because I had written a column in March of 2019, the first March of 2019, not the one we're still in, being like, you know, we were supposed to have like VR for work by now. And all we have is like this crappy Zoom stuff. Where did it go? And when is it going to arrive? I could see it being super useful in some cases. And I could see augmented reality being really useful in some cases. I think it's really sad. I agree with the people who said it's really sad that that's Facebook's like big hot vision of the multiverse is work.
Yeah.
Womp, womp. Yeah. And you think that having like 6 Zoom meetings in a row is bad? Imagine having 6 meetings with like a 2-pound headset on your face.
No joke.
No, thank you.
True.
Also, I get really motion sick, like really motion sick. It is not an option for me. So I think it's going to be, VR has been a long slog for a lot of reasons, and I don't see this like happening anytime soon. Half empty.
Are you half full or half empty on the Amazon department stores?
I'm bewildered. I'm honestly bewildered.
Yeah.
So the Journal had the story this week. They're going to open some, you know, not like as big as a Macy's, but like 30,000 square feet as opposed to 100,000 square feet. But why? I truly, legit, I don't understand why.
It is really interesting. So, I wonder, it seems to say something about retail that other retailers could capitalize on. Like if Amazon is saying quite clearly, and they've got, you know, they've got Whole Foods stores and they have those Amazon Prime stores or whatever, the brick and mortar ones where you can walk in and just like, I think, walk out with something or something. They do seem to be telling us that their customers want physical retail. And it seems to me that that's a great opportunity for a Macy's or a Target or a Walmart to be like, oh, hey, maybe we should cut Amazon off at the knees here. I will say, despite my better judgment, those Amazon stores that exist now, they are so well curated that every time I walk in there, I want everything.
That's so interesting. That's really a good
story. They're great. Actually. They're good stores. And it is a good story.
They know everything.
Because they know.
Right?
So I think they're just stocking it with the Amazon's choice stuff, all the most popular stuff. So it's like the most popular books and the most popular cooking stuff and the cool little Yeti mug that everything has. It's like trend spotting in a physical space. And it is hard to resist.
That's a good story.
So I'm half full in the sense that Amazon's department stores are going to be awesome.
I'll buy
that. You can have that story. I look forward to hearing it on Marketplace.
Yeah, it's a
good one. Do it. It's a good story. Okay, next.
We are detouring to sports here. Major League Baseball ending their licensing deal for baseball cards with Topps. Are you half full or half empty?
So, like, 10-year-old me wants to care about this story, but I mean, look, I'm the kid who used to get out of bed on a Saturday morning, and I would sit on the red rug in the living room of my parents' house, and I would organize my baseball cards. I was that kid. And, oh, by the way, my mother threw them all away. She also threw away my Letterman's jacket from high school sports, but that's a whole different story. Oh, you have no idea. You have no idea. Anyway, of some interest, I suppose, and yes, I understand it's a huge industry. So I suppose I'm half empty on it because you want competition in business. But I don't have a whole lot of oomph in this story. That's where I am.
Yeah, it's one of those. Somebody asked us to talk about it, and I'm trying to find the tweet because Twitter is stupid. It seems
that's
like
the Twitter is stupid. Sarah Schlosser, 48-year-old me, cares about this story. Sarah Schlosser is very into this story.
Yeah, I think this story is a big deal. And I even in the, it's actually in the exact same vein as like things you didn't care about until they were back in the news. Same story.
Yeah,
I was like, what? Really? Topps and MLB? Like that seemed like that's a huge deal, right? I mean, 1952. Mm-hmm. What I really wonder is what does it actually mean for the people who have all these Topps baseball cards that were MLB and aren't anymore? Like, are they going to get more valuable?
Yes,
are we going to start seeing them as NFTs? Oh, God. Anyway, I think it's super interesting, and people seem extremely fascinated about it. Maybe we should do another story. Maybe we should do that story. You should do that story.
There's a lot of stories coming out of this for me. No, we didn't.
No, that's a really good... I mean, I think that this upends... The tweet that I was trying to find, the effect of that tweet was essentially, this upends a lot of things for collectors, and it's a really big deal.
Yeah, that's true. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Sorry. Yes,
so I am half full on wanting to know more. How about that?
That's
for a cop out.
I'll go along with that. Yep. No, there you go. I'll buy that. I'll buy that. All right. How many do we have today?
As requested, fifth topic. Are you half full?
Nice.
Or half empty?
Oh, snap.
On minor internet celebrities and influencers promoting the vaccines.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Anything that gets people to get the shot. I'm all the way full. How can you not be full on that? Get the shot.
I'm all the way full on this. I mean, it makes everything just sort of weird. Like, look, people trust who they trust at this point, right? And trust is very distributed and shallow. So if they trust this influencer and they're being paid to promote the vaccine, it gets a little messy because an equal number of them may be being paid to discredit the vaccine.
That's true.
Look, if it works, it works. Full.
All the way full. Huh. Well, there you go. And
easy.
Thus ends another round of Half Full, Half Empty with Drew Jostedt, myself, and Molly Wood.
Thanks, Drew.
Thanks, Drew. 2 days in a row this week, by the way, just saying. Send us your questions, would you, comments, or things you want to hear on Half Full, Half Empty, or anything else about the show. I mean, this... Molly and I get to have all the fun, but sorry, not to get all mushy here. Molly and I get to have all the fun, but it's all about y'all. You know, it just is.
It's true.
So send us what you feel like sending us. Voice memo or an email to makemesmart@marketplace.org. You can call us now too, 508-827-6278, 508-UB-SMART. Leave us a memo or voicemail or whatever.
Emily, our hilarious intern, is in the Discord. Yes, Gen Z, get those vaccines, besties.
There you go. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Today's episode was engineered by... Drew, you're doing double duty?
Man, dang.
Is there anything this guy cannot do?
He's overtaking his ice
cream. Team behind the YouTube. And also, he had the Marketplace role today, in which we had a minor technical snafu. So it's been a tough hour and a half for him. The team behind the YouTube live stream and our game Half Full, Half Empty is Stephen Bion, Catherine Devine, and Mel Rosenberg.
That's right. New people getting all the credit. The theme music for Half Full, Half Empty was written by, get this, Drew Jostedt. The senior producer is Bridget Bonner. And
the executor on demand is whatever. They don't matter.
Whatever.
Sorry, Adam. We're out of music.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.